We present the news quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Welcome to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from a BBC London traffic report read by Zeb Soans.
The London cable car is currently suspended.
And our thanks to Geoffrey Gaylor for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Susan Kalman. And opposite them on my left, Greg Proops and Bob Mills. Jeremy, who hasn't been shy and retiring about his economic forecast?
This is the autumn statement by George Osborne. Now, it used to be a sort of mini-budget, and now it's become more like the sort of American State of the Union address. And just as the President of the United States is not going to stand up and say, do you know what, I think I need a change, I'm thinking landscape gardening. Similarly, Osborne is not going to stand up and say this amusing pastime has been a pleasing diversion from my destiny of titled leisure, but I tire of the cyclical nature of the market and the plaintive cries of the unfortunate farewell. So what he's done is he stood up and said everything's going really well and it's all down to him, but we're all going to have to work until we're 70, which is fine if we're still healthy. Now, those of us who do pointless things like this, where we faff around indoors, not getting tired, that's fine. But for people shinning up and down ladders, their knees are gone by their time they're 65. You know, if people keep their health, it's fair enough. But there's a caveat. If we can't get our pensions till we're 70, okay. But then people on trust funds should not be able to access them until they've spent at least 45 seconds in their life worrying about how they're going to pay the bills.
He announced, which I think you're going to be very pleased about, there's going to be a tax break for married couples and civil partners, whereby you can transfer £1,000 of your tax allowance to your partner. So there's my Christmas present, my darling. I hope you enjoy.
It's a very romantic present, yes, isn't it? Happy Christmas, yes.
There was some great announcement. There's a tax break for fracking, because he just wants to keep saying the word fracking. He likes that. And my other favourite was that there's a now subsidy for offshore wind farms as opposed to onshore wind farms. So they've moved. Although the wonderful thing is, as we speak, most of the offshore wind farms are becoming onshore. He's pulled the rug from under Miliband, who's saying, I'm going to freeze fuel costs. And he said, every household, 50 quid off.
Well, Ed Miliband said that announcement of the cut to energy bills is a smoke and mirrors deal. And I thought, that is how I am trying to heat the house this year. I don't know. So, Greg, you come over from America. We're thrilled to see you. And then we start with something as delightful as the autumn statement. You must have been beside yourself with excitement.
I was going to watch it, and then I remembered I'm cool. I think it's fantastic. I think the rich need to be looked after, and that the government's job is to look after them, and that the poor are welcome to rub together if they're cold.
Oh, do you know, that's made me quite happy.
Yes.
You also just go out and find another poor person and rub yourself against them, and then you're doing your bit for Britain.
The poor tend to wear cheaper clothing as well, which sparks more, as you... able to retire. It's never ever going. The only way you're going to know if I ever retire is if Zeb suddenly reads out a funny clipping from my obituary. Do you want to retire, Greg, ever?
No, I don't think comedians retire. We just become extremely tedious.
We just become humorists, don't we?
Is that? Oh, that's what.
Once you get old, you become a humorist, and you just become slightly wry. And just in your death mask, there's a slight upturn of the corner of the mouth.
One of the weirdest things that ever happened to me, it's absolutely true, I was invited to Chequers, which is the Prime Minister's sort of country residence. That's not the weird thing. I was being shown around, and they opened a drawer, and inside is the death mask of Cromwell. And it's just the weirdest thing, because he's there in the drawer, he's kind of looking up at you. And I didn't really know what to say, except, looks like him. I didn't really know what to say.
Is it a special drawer?
I mean, it's
is it just with the blue tack in there?
Some old Chinese restaurant menus.
Do you really want someone to be making a mask of your face as you're in your dying moment? You're trying to think of something really wise to say so that people can remember you, rather than, you've got it stuck up my nose.
I have to get this right way around. Thomas Edison's last breath is in a test tube in the Ford Museum in America. That's quite weird, isn't it? They must have kept thinking, maybe it's now. And must have been loads of wasted test tubes, but I haven't quite got it.
Did he die of suffocation at the age of 24?
If I could have only had that last bit of air. I wish I'd invented something before I died.
Last words are tricky. My nan lingered on for quite a long time, bless her old heart. And my brother was working nights, and he'd worked a night shift and then come to the hospital to see her. And it was a very, very hot day. And my brother was tired. And at one point, he sort of went... and my nan's last words were, "I'm sorry, Andrew, am I keeping you up?"
George Osborne has delivered his autumn statement, describing it as a plan to deliver a responsible recovery. The autumn statement is a half-yearly update on the budget and an hour of your life you will never get back. Amongst a raft of gripping measures, the Chancellor announced that the pension age will be raised. People in their 40s will have to work till they're 68, people in their 30s will have to work to 69, and people in their 20s have another 50 years of unemployment to look forward to. There were various incentives for business, a business rate discount for some small traders, an exemption from national insurance contributions, and an offer from Nick Clegg to work Saturdays. The Chancellor declared, "Britain is moving again," and that is true. Due to high winds, we have now drifted into the Atlantic. 2 points to Monsieur Hardy. Susan, listen to this. Don't push too far. China in Your Hand by Tupou. Why was it called Tupou? What does it mean, Tupou?
Because they were founded in Lancashire. They would have been called The Pow.
Oh, I see.
I had my first ever kiss to Tupou.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
I did. It brings back a lot of very, very bad memories.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I was a bit pissed.
Susan, who's been like a Bullingdon in a China shop?
David Cameron took a load of business people, stroke friends, stroke his neighbour, to China. The Chinese papers insinuated by saying they didn't really care about Britain, that it was an old country, it was useful only to go for tourism and students. And the main story that has come out of this quite important trade mission to China is the fact that we're selling £45 million worth of pig semen.
We're selling £45 million worth of pig semen,
semen
to China. Can I just be clear that, you know, Cameron didn't take it with him?
No. So, this is difficult because I don't know how much pig semen goes for. How much is
it's a delicacy in China.
Yeah.
Is it a lot?
Well, all you need to know is you can only take 100 mil through customs.
What are they using it for? They're using it to impregnate Chinese pigs.
What do you think? It's not for pudding.
Could be to put wallpaper up. You don't know.
Would that work? Is it sticky enough for wallpaper?
I don't know.
You never get yogurt in a Chinese. Maybe they've got a yogurt shortage.
Might be a scent. We don't know.
I think semen is quite a specific usage. If it's not for impregnating pigs, then I think we should be asking a question about where that semen is going.
Yes.
I'm going to do an extra point. Who else wasn't Biden their time in the Far East? Anybody?
Joe Biden.
It's too easy. Yeah, did you see him as well?
It was about defence, wasn't it? It was about a Chinese... they've got a zone where they're going to shoot us. That's not the exact... I'm paraphrasing the times.
There's a disputed area between Japan and China.
Yes, that's exactly what I said.
Oh, 2 points to me.
Thanks.
he went over there. It was quite tense, actually, because he went to Japan and then he went to China... and they've instigated some air exclusion zones. Mm. But apparently Joe Biden said it's not as bad as people think. Let's worry about it. I don't think it's going to be an issue. And the next day he flew to South Korea via Shannon.
Cameron did take a lot of his friends. He has a lot of friends. He didn't take them all. He didn't take... What were those other two friends he had? Andy Coulson and Rebecca Brooks. David Cameron went to China this week, and then he came back, so it wasn't all good news.
Well, now we know that pig semen can fly.
Yeah.
How many of the guys come?
China's main newspaper called Britain a country fit only for travel and study, which is, of course, nonsense. Our transport systems are shocking, and our education is run by a man who started wearing glasses in the hope that people wouldn't hit him. Greg, who's finding that education's not easy pizza?
England.
Yes.
Yeah, apparently there's been a lot of testing going on in one of those grand, vague testing things that journalists love to write about. And they've tested many countries, and England's come in 25th, is it, in reading, 26th or something in science, and maths, as you guys call them. That evidently Korea and Estonia and lots of other countries are way ahead of England, and that England is not as educated as it once was. when I first came here some 20 years ago, people would say to me, are people in England smart? And I'd say, they are. And they go, isn't the television great? And I go, yeah. And then now they go, isn't English television great? And I'm like, yeah, England's Sexiest Dogs is the best show I've ever seen.
Journalists love to do this. Oh, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Korea, Singapore. Oh, they're much above us in reading, apparently, and maths, which is supposed to be important. What I want to ask you is, how are their kids doing in hotel and leisure management and media studies? Now, we still lead the world there, I think.
That's a very good point.
Absolutely. Pig semen exportation,
yes.
I think, is something that the Shanghai people could look into and drop their attitude a little goddamn bit.
Yeah.
And we're good at putting a brave face on things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And taking cuttings from things. Anything we can't take a cutting from, we put a brave face on. Mm-hmm. Actually, 25th isn't bad. There's lots of countries, aren't there?
Yeah, there's loads of countries in the
world. How many countries are there? Who knows how many countries there are?
There are 198 in the UN, and then there's additional ones who don't belong to the UN.
Okay, so 25th isn't bad, is it?
Not too shabby.
I went online and did one of the PISA math tests.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did.
How did you do?
Well, it goes up in difficulty, like the Krypton factor. And I was sitting in my budget hotel with some crisps, because I know how to live the high life. And I was saying, I put them in a wee bowl, so it looked like I was having a party. And I was eating my crisps, and I was using the thing, if you stay in a Premier Inn, you get a wee cardboard thing on your pillow, pirate hat. So I had my pirate hat on and my wee thing of crisps. I thought, I'll do...
It's so tragic.
They did get pretty... The first level was really quite easy, but it gets quite difficult, and it got to the stage where it was hurting everything, and the crisps were all over my laptop, and I was crying silently. And I thought, I'm just going to stop now. But they are quite difficult, actually. They are quite difficult.
Benny Henry doesn't warn you about any of that in the advert, does he?
The UK has performed disappointingly in the PISA International Education League table, coming 26th out of 65 for maths, 23rd for reading and 21st for science. The PISA test is a two-hour examination taken internationally by more than 500,000 teenagers, all done whilst leaning at an incredibly awkward angle. Of the 65 countries taking part, Shanghai came out top for maths, reading and science, but notably not geography, where someone should have pointed out that Shanghai is not actually a country. 2 points to Greg. Oh, gosh, my pages stuck together. Bless that pig semen there. Bob, who's being fast-tracked for a sell-off?
It's Eurostar, isn't it? We own 40% of Eurostar, and we've now decided it's no good. It was fun for a while when it used to stop at Waterloo, because that was good when French people came off the train. But then they dushed it all up and they moved it to King's Cross and built this huge thing, and suddenly we weren't interested in it anymore. And also, we were disappointed. All right, I'll say I was disappointed, and you can all say, oh, really? We didn't think that for a moment. But the first time I went on Eurostar, I thought it was a tunnel all the way. I didn't realise you had to go through Kent and then... But it wasn't.
Why would you do that, Bob? Why would you dig a tunnel all the way under Kent?
Well,
when...
yes, now you ask me the question.
Well, apparently, there are six insurance companies who want to invest in various things. And the weird thing is, one of them is Scottish Widows. Is anybody else suspicious of Scottish Widows? She's got so much money and she's so young, and you have no idea what happened to the husband. You have no idea.
Wasn't she Sean Connery's daughter?
Roger Moore's daughter.
Oh, Roger Moore, the other.
Yeah,
of course, because Sean Connery's daughter would have been a horrible gnarled up creature, wouldn't she? She was Roger Moore's daughter. No, No. I hope Sean Connery hasn't got a daughter, because now I've just... I hope he has. I hope he's got a...
You know, you were talking about digging a tunnel before.
I think you started a big one.
I've always thought George Lazenby's daughter was underrated, actually.
But we're flogging it off. And also, I read this great list of other things that the government owns.
Oh, yes.
That I didn't know. Channel 4.
Is that right?
Huge, 90-odd% of Channel 4. Well, there you go. There's 300 quid. Bang, straight up.
I love the Channel Tunnel. I think I just like spending that long in the dark. It's the closest I'll ever get to feeling like Ed Miliband. Danny Alexander has unveiled the government's infrastructure spending plan for the next 2 decades. The plan will boost the UK economy, creating jobs and making it easier to do business. Mr. Alexander also denied there was a north-south divide in spending, saying there are projects going on in every part of the country. In the south, you have Crossrail, and in the north, Roy Walker will be opening a fete. 2 points to Bob, and at the end of round one, the scores are Jeremy and Susan are in the lead with 5 points. Greg and Bob have got 4. Round two with a cutting from the Melton Times.
The defendant pleaded guilty to being drunk in charge of a vehicle. He was fined £500, ordered to pay £85 costs, and banned from living for 6 months.
And our thanks to Helen Shaw for sending us that. Jeremy, listen to this. Jeremy, who could you bank on to be fined this week? Again.
Some of the banks. Mm. Well, a couple of weeks ago, people were sort of talking about the Paul Flowers co-op debacle and saying, why on earth would you appoint someone to run a bank when they've got no experience of running a bank? Perhaps because we've seen what happens when you appoint people who do have experience of running a bank. And they just keep getting fined for things.
And I noticed that the Royal Bank of Scotland was hit for about a £300 million fine. And am I not mistaken, the Royal Bank of Scotland was unable to give people their money this week, on Monday. Why are they called the Royal Bank? Shouldn't they be called the Occasional Bank of Scotland? The Intermittent Bank of Scotland?
I bank with the Royal Bank of Scotland. And I know. This keeps happening. They are accident prone. Some mothers do have them. They are
the Frank Spencer of banking.
They're the Frank Spencer of banking, because they keep going on the radio going, look, okay, sorry. It's never going to, I swear, it's never going to happen again. And we all go, all right then. And then the next Monday they go, okay, right. Listen, you won't believe what happened, right? We all had a lot of baby sham last night and Kevin switched the computer off. Now, we're really sorry.
So Scottish people aren't tight-fisted at all. It's just you can't get hold of any of them.
This isn't my bore, this is Yoribor.
Yeah, there's an Asian one as well, Japan bore or...
Well, there's Yoribor, which I thought was Kraftwerk. And then there's the Yen Libor, which sounds like one of those really bad teams you get in the first round of the Europa League.
It sounds like a Danish goalkeeper, doesn't it?
Yeah, Yen Libor.
And another great save by Yen Libor. I made a football joke, that's rather pleasing. My work here is done.
She'll turn up next week in a Rangers scarf.
I don't even know what that is. The European Commission has imposed new fines on the banking industry of a record £1.4 billion for colluding to fix key interest rate benchmarks. HSBC said it would defend itself vigorously against the fines. Who knew those contacts in the Mexican drug cartels would come in so handy? RBS Chairman Sir Philip Hampton said the RBS board and new management team condemn the behaviour of individuals involved in these activities and will tell them so at the annual RBS Caribbean Golf Christmas fortnight. 2 points to Jeremy. Greg, why is all not well in the wildly unfair West?
It's been a tough year, as you know, for our president. He wanted to give health care to everyone, and that's wildly unpopular because we don't want health. We have guns, and if everyone has a gun, we'll all be safe. And then recently, Kentucky Fried Chicken and McDonald's and a lot of fast food outlets are striking this week because people have the silly idea that if they work at a job 8-10 hours a day, that they should make enough money at that job to actually pay for food at the end of the day. And you may remember in our last election, it was Obama versus Mitt Romney, or Uncle Hairdo as we knew him. And he inferred that there was 47% of America that felt that they were entitled to things like food and air and water and things like that. And we won't have it. No. We're a democracy. And a democracy means if you're rich, right on. And if you're poor, flip off. So
he did make a wonderful statement, Barack Obama, where he said, since 1979, when I graduated, U.S. productivity has gone up 90%. But typical family income has only gone up 8%. The economy has trebled in size, but it's only ever benefited a tiny, fortunate minority. And you kind of think, wouldn't it be good if there was like someone in charge who could do something about that?
Yeah.
Kentucky Fried Chicken is actually the only reason I've been stopped by the police, because I'm not allowed to visit fast food stores because it's unhealthy, apparently, and my wife says something about us living till a pensionable age, 90. Sometimes I really want just a bucket of chicken, and I have to, it's like having an affair. I have to set up an alibi. I go, I'm just going around to my friends. Are you? Yes, I am. It's no problem at all. So I went and I got a big bucket of chicken just for me, pretended I had kids in the car. And I said, because I was frightened. I was just frightened that she would find me. So I drove to the park. And I sat in the park with the chicken in the car, but I had to roll down the windows so she wouldn't smell the chicken. So I was sitting in a car with the windows open, but with the little light on, and the police stopped me and thought I was dogging.
In a speech this week, President Obama warned that inequality had reached the point where it posed a fundamental threat to the American dream. Also this week, fast food workers across America went on strike to protest about the minimum wage. Millions of Americans faced a hellish day, barred from their usual burgers, and had to break open their emergency vegetables. Points to Greg. Bob, which construction project is going into extra time?
There we go, your favourite. The World Cup.
I know, I couldn't be more thrilled.
Yeah, there, the Samba Kings laying it on, the great memories of Tostão and Gerson and Nilton Santos and Garrincha. We'll never see his like again, will we? Hey, it's going to be fantastic. But unfortunately, things aren't going to plan. And four of the six stadium aren't going to be ready in January. My favourite is the Arena Amazonia in Manaus. And there is a clue in the name. It's in the rainforest. Hmm. And apparently all the Brazilian footballers are saying, well, we ain't going there. We aren't going to play there. It's 80 degrees at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you die if you run around. But it's all going to be all right, because there's a man called Aldo Rebelo. He's the sports minister of Brazil. He's just saying, calm down. And he's made a wonderful analogy, and I'm quoting him verbatim. It's like a wedding. There's always a bride and a groom. And 100% of the time, the bride is always late. But, as he says, no one's ever known a wedding to be stopped just because the bride was late. Well, there's a man who's never watched EastEnders or Coronation for a start. But his thing is, everything's going to be fine. It's all going to be all right. And it will be all right. It will be a fantastic tournament. And Brazil will win. And Germany will come second. And we'll get knocked out in the quarterfinals. But at least we'll have an excuse. Oh, well, whenever Walcott put a cross in, an anaconda came down and ate the ball.
In fairness to the Brazilians, you say one of their stadia is in the rainforest. But the reason they're called the Brazilians is there's only a little strip of rainforest left.
I hope their opening ceremony is sexier than your guys' Olympic opening ceremony, because that one confused me completely. I didn't get the theme. Was it Slumdog Hobbit? I wasn't quite following it. There was a big pile of dirt, and Kenneth Branagh was dressed as Abraham Lincoln, and I didn't follow it. It was kind of freaky.
I think you've got it. I think that's fine. Yeah. I will tell you everything that I know about football, okay? They spend 45 minutes going one way and then 45 minutes going the other way. And I only know that because it's the same technique I use at a buffet. The draw for the World Cup 2014 takes place this week in host country Brazil amid concerns that six of the stadiums for the competition will not be ready by the deadline set by FIFA. Brazil's sports minister Aldo Rebelo has been trying to put a positive spin on the delays. FIFA Secretary General Jerome Valcke has asked Brazilians not to protest, and chairman of the London Olympics Committee Seb Coe has not stopped laughing all week. 2 points to Bob. At the end of round two, the scores are Greg and Bob have got 8 points, but still in the lead are Jeremy and Susan with 9. Before we start round three, here is a cutting from the Club AZ Sports and Social Club newsletter.
Please note that the male changing room will be closed for refurbishment, and both external changing rooms will be made male only to accommodate all members.
And our thanks to Jane Fellows for sending us that. Jeremy, why can I do several things while asking this question while you can only just manage to answer?
Oh, don't distract me. I'm trying to concentrate on sitting on my chair. Yeah, allegedly, it's a well-worn cliche now that men cannot multitask. And well, there might be truth in it. I am quite busy growing hair out of all my head holes at the moment. Thing is, they've been trying to study the brain for thousands of years, and all they've really come up with is it's a big spongy thing that lives in your head. They don't really know. And they talk about wiring in the brain, and they say, of course, only men can do wiring, so ladies have no wiring at all. Their head is just held together with sponge and jam. And it's all a bit hokey, I think. Men and women are not that different, really.
They are. We are good at multitasking.
Sandy's reupholstering a chair while she's doing the news. Yes.
There was a strange thing that men can do things that are straightforward. You can drive a car and read a map, but women can do things that need more than one, like identify a face and then know that face and where it fits into their general.
Yes, because we don't need to know where we're going. We just need to know what it looks like, because we've got men to show us the way, because they can read the maps. And why should I know where I'm going when I'm giving birth and ironing at the same time? To be honest, that's all I'm good for, really, isn't it?
My darling, don't overexert yourself.
I'm sorry for speaking out of turn, Jeremy.
That's a lovely voice.
Sorry.
I like that.
Thank you very much. Do you know what? This is actually how I speak. I just do the Scottish for work. It's for the diversity box ticking I do this. Thank you.
Scientists have finally found the difference between men and women. Whilst women are better at multitasking, men's brains are better at concentrating on single complex tasks such as hammering a shed or causing a global financial crisis. One of the other scientists involved, Dr. Ruben Gur, said, "It's quite striking how complementary the brains of women and men really are," in one of the worst chat-up lines of all time. 2 points to Jeremy. Bob, listen to this.
This is my church. This is where I heal my hurts. For tonight, God is a DJ.
I don't know why I couldn't tell when that was finished, that particular disc. I'd be so shit on Radio 2 and I'd have no idea. Has it finished? Sorry. Susan, why might irrational fears be all in the family?
A university in Atlanta has discovered, they suggest that phobias that you have that might be considered irrational may actually be passed down genetically from your ancestors. And they did this by some mice. They made them frightened of cherry blossom by electrocuting them when they got near the cherry blossom and then letting them breed. And the children of the mice, the tiny little mice, the micelings, were also frightened of the cherry blossom. Now, my immediate thought was maybe their parents told the children to stay away from the cherry blossoms. That would be my immediate, rather than it being genetic, the mice might have said, don't go near the cherry blossom, you get electrocuted. But apparently scientists think differently from mere mortals, probably men. And so if you have an irrational fear and you go, I don't know how I got that, it's possibly your ancestors. So they suggest spiders is because someone in your past had a problem with a spider, or in my case, I have a fear of clogs. So in my past, I had a Dutch ancestor who had a bad experience with a clog, and that's why I'm frightened of clogs.
This explains my dream last night about swimming with herring.
I think it's rubbish because, I mean, people have all sorts of fears, and some of them are impossible to have acquired for your ancestors. I mean, fear of buttons. There is actually a fear of buttons. Now, I know it's very, very serious, and I know phobias are very serious things, but you are tempted to say, oh, just grow up, you pathetic milksop. They're just fasteners. But no, apparently
it's a real... Well, I thought you meant the character in Cinderella.
I'm not talking about Cinder's transgender soulmate. I'm talking about... actual buttons that people are afraid of. And how would one of your ancestors... Because our ancestors didn't have buttons. They used Velcro. Mm-hmm. So how would you acquire it? How would you... And the thing is, if memory is genetic, well, then when my dad asked me to help him find something that he's lost, then I could say, I can only find that for you, Dad, if you lost it before I was conceived in the autumn of 1960. And we were living in Hurst Road then, so surely the council would have found it when we moved out.
It just seems to me, Greg, that mice are not safe in the United States because they've been testing the mice for these phobias in Atlanta. They've been testing mice's brains in Pennsylvania. Mm. No mouse is safe in the United States.
No, they're not. And if they're too feisty, we'll cut off their tail with a carving knife. No. Have you ever seen such a sight in your life?
No.
Mice get a raw deal in my country. And the reason is because they can't operate a cash register at McDonald's. Because then they could be gainfully employed for less than $7.25 an hour and be part of society instead of being the rats that they are.
And apparently you hate Mises to pieces.
That's my understanding. I hate all the Mises to pieces. And I pluralize them that way.
You can inherit some fears from me. I've got a terrible fear of being smacked around the back of my head. And that's directly from my father.
I inherited my parents' fear of heights.
But also, you see, a lot of it's a get-up. My wife is terrified of... I'm irrationally frightened of spiders. I just don't like spiders. And my kids are now frightened of spiders. So, and I think you're all just frightened of me sitting quietly watching the television. That's what you don't like.
I'm genuinely frightened of clogs, though, because I'm frightened of running in clogs. I should say.
Right.
Because
do you have any clogs?
I had clogs when I was younger and I immediately thought I can't run in those clogs because there's not enough... they would flop off.
Yeah.
The clog would flop off.
Sure.
If I was running. And I like to have secure shoes so that I can always run... I always want to be able to run away from something.
You can buy clogs with laces. You can. In Lancashire, they have clogs with
leather. They're shoes. Yeah, you can buy leather slippers.
You know what you can try? You know, there's a lot of aversion therapies, and there are different... And people laugh about it, but there are different... You know, there's always a good thing you can try. Don't run in clogs.
Yeah, that's good.
If you need to run in clogs...
Okay, we need to move along.
If you were frightened, if your fears came from your ancestors, then we'd be frightened of things like diphtheria and U-boats, wouldn't we?
I'm quite frightened.
I can't go near a mammoth. Or a mastodon. They just terrify me.
That's your allergies.
Yeah.
New research from scientists shows that irrational fears can be inherited. Researchers at the Emory University School of Medicine in Atlanta found that mice can pass on learned information about traumatic experiences. Experiences like being tested by researchers at the Emory University School of Medicine in Atlanta. The discovery was made by administering mice with electric shocks, putting an entire generation of mice off a career as an electrician. 2 points to Susan. Greg, is it a bird? Is it a plane? Is it a PR stunt by an online retailer?
The president of Amazon Corporation, which is in charge of dehumanizing all interactions between people. We used to go into a shop and go, how are you today? And they go, good. And they go, I like to buy that. Here you are. Let me wrap it for you. And then we go, goodbye, Merry Christmas and whatnot. And Amazon has removed that element. So now you can just push a button and sit in your home and wait for to be predator droned. Jeff Bezos, the giant white person who's in charge of Amazon, has threatened to use drones to deliver Amazon products. If you think, really, you want to use them to deliver retail products, and we have poor people all over our country and no one can eat, why don't we use drones to drop food on people? Why isn't there a banana drone that can just drop a giant bunch of fruit on a family or whatnot?
Because it would just crash into a wedding party in Afghanistan.
No kidding. So that's what he threatened to do this week, and it was no one called him on it because he's rich. No one said, no, you're not going to use drones, because that's an incredibly insipid idea.
But surely we won't need Amazon soon. So aren't we going to print everything on 3D printers?
I know I am. I printed my wife out last night.
I think there's just one point that he's missing. I see the point. You're laughing, but I see the point. Sometimes I order something on Amazon. I want it now. I don't want to wait till tomorrow. I want it now. You can buy airline seatbelt extenders and all sorts of brilliant things on Amazon. You can, all right? Otherwise, you have to ask, and they give you the horrible orange one that they use in the display, and no one wants to use that. But the problem in America is this. If you have a factory with lots of things in it which are quite valuable, and you fit them to a drone, they take off in the air, and they fly over America. Don't a lot of people in America have guns?
Pretty much, yes.
36% of Americans have guns.
Because it's like a lucky dip. Let's go and shoot down the drone and let's see what we get.
That's true. It's retail skeet shooting.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's a Hillary Mantel book. Right.
What if the drones get mixed up? What if one of them shoots an air missile at you and the other one delivers a box set of Will and Grace to Al-Qaeda?
I
mean,
I think you got a point, though, Sandra, because I think if we bombed Al-Qaeda with DVDs of Whiskey Galore and La Cage aux Folles, maybe they'd lighten up a bit. Yeah.
The chief executive of Amazon, Jeff... Is it Bezos?
Bozos.
That means kisses, doesn't it? Bezos.
Yeah.
Bezos. The chief executive of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, has announced that the online retailer is trialling the use of unmanned drones to deliver packages. The system would prove a godsend in December as a quick and easy way to get your children, amongst other things, a drone for Christmas. Thanks to GPS, the drone will set its own coordinates, and thanks to Apple Maps, will then crash into the sea. Amazon's service will be called Prime Air, not to be confused with Prime 8, the Royal Mail's plans to have post delivered by a monkey. Or the Archbishop of Canterbury. 2 points to Greg. Bob, which guardian of the faith can also do door work?
Oh, bless him. This is Pope Francis, the Holy Father.
I don't think you need to bless him, darling. I think he's fine.
He's revealed in an interview, he went out and met some parishioners and sat and talked to them because he's very outgoing. He goes out at night and gives alms to the poor. He's like a sort of Catholic Gladstone without the bag and the prostitutes. But he revealed in this interview that one of the jobs that he had was a bouncer in a nightclub. And I do like Pope Francis. I do worry, though, that they're trying to trend him up, because there's nothing worse than the Holy Father in the dress and all the gear trying to be down with the kids, and it's stuff like, oh yeah, yeah, oh, I was bad, man, I was wicked, I was a bouncer, you know, you see me with the censor, basically I'm happier with 3 snooker balls in a sock. And yes, when he was a young man, he'd been a nightclub bouncer in Buenos Aires, and I would think that's a pretty tough gig.
It was a place called St. Peter's, and people come up to the door and he go, your name ain't in the book, beat it. Yeah.
The idea of having really strict rules at the nightclub. So to get in, you have to pass through the eye of a needle. I think that'll be it.
Sometimes bouncers are nice, and Glasgow has quite an image of being a hard place, but the bouncers are often incredibly nice there. I was at a club once, very long time ago, about 15, 20 years ago. I don't go clubbing now because it's too noisy and you can't get a seat. And I went to this club and someone was causing problems, and he thought, oh, it's going to kick off. The big head bouncer just brought out a sock puppet he'd made himself with little ears on it and shouted, release the hounds! Ow, 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 ow! The guy that was causing trouble was so humiliated at being chased down the street by essentially a low-rent emu. And I thought, that's the way you deal with punters who are drunk. Just humiliate them. I bet the Pope did that really well.
Yeah. The best thing to do with bouncers, of course, as my friend Ricky always used to say, is if you see them standing in the doorway, just go and stand right in front of them and stare right at them for a couple of minutes and then say, you ain't coming out.
Francis told a congregation in Rome about the jobs he had done before joining the church, which included sweeping floors and being a nightclub bouncer. Francis has been dubbed the coolest priest ever, beating off fierce competition from Father Ted and that one from Ballykiss Angel. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Ms. Gammon.
This is from Mrs. Brenda Powell in Devon from the Exeter Express and Echo. Police are appealing for information after thieves made off with a 42-inch television during a nighttime raid. The burglary happened unbeknown to the homeowners who were watching TV at the time.
Mr. Proops.
How do you pronounce his name, Millsy? Geraint Fa...
No, Geraint.
Geraint Filer writes in, blind people to be given gun licenses, Dateline America. A state has come under fire for plans to issue gun licenses to blind people. Iowa says denying disabled citizens the right to bear arms infringes on their human rights. While the anti-gun lobby fears it could lead to more violence, Cedar County Sheriff Warren Wethington backs the law. He will let his blind daughter carry a gun when she turns 21 in 2015. If we spent more time keeping guns out of criminals' hands, not people with disabilities, our time would be more productive, he says. I don't believe a word of this story. Blind people are great shots.
Mr. Mills.
This is from Mike Byrne in Bury in Lancs. Frustrated residents have had no post for 5 weeks after Royal Mail banned deliveries when a roaming dog bit a postman. Some 162 households on the Greenthorpe estate in Bramley in Leeds now face a 30-minute walk to the nearest depot. Royal Mail apologised for the issue and said it will be writing to the affected customers.
Take a look at the final score. Jeremy and Susan have got 13 points, but with a sudden surge, Greg and Bob have won with 14. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from Radio 4's food programme sent to us by Chris Moore.
What we eat is making us ill. We are going to have to relearn what to eat, and we need to start with small children in schools.
Goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Susan Coleman, Greg Proops and Bob Mills. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig and the news was read by me, Zeb Soames. The chair script was written by Gareth Gwynne, Simon Littlefield and Roderick Crooks, with additional material by James Bugg and Alice Gregg. The producer was Sam Michelle.